We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. On the mahogany, waxing it up 100, 200, 300. A bad seat, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad honors, bad tests, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves to smoke her catatonic on a Friday night in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people drunk some plastic bags to Brendan Travis, some kind of fashion, check it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, fights a fight to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a town, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do, be check it up. It was kicking, I'm Farrell, Mafia's running it, and I'm watching Michigan State kick Northwestern's ass in Evanston. Right now, 14-0 Spartans. Early in the second quarter on the north side of Chicago at Ryan Field, dominating this football game early tonight and often. And we've already seen chaos tonight in college football as the highly ranked North Carolina Heels get beat in Blacksburg 17-10 by Virginia Tech. And I'll tell you what, when I watched that pregame, I mean, there were 65,000 students there. I'm talking about when they were playing that Metallica, Enter Sandman or whatever, you talk about rowdy. I mean, that was the craziest lit crowd I think I've ever seen. They were, you know, jumping up and down. They do that Metallica intro to the stadium when the football team comes on the field. And, I mean, that is just flat-out rowdy and intense and intimidating, and it works. And they came out completely lit, and they flat-out kicked North Carolina's ass in that football game. They were up 14-0 before you could spit. They made it 14-7 in the second half, but they lost. Right after that, they kicked another field goal. So it was 17-7, and then it was over. North Carolina got a field goal, and that was it. So I've heard all I can take about North Carolina and Mac Brown's Sam Howell is, you know, I've heard he's the best quarterback in America. Yeah, uh-huh. Nice three-pick game for Sam to start the season. He was awful. Flat-out awful. That's all there is to it. Just stop. North Carolina never matters in football, and they still don't. That's all there is to it. And if you're a Heel fan, go have a sandwich, go to bed. No one wants to hear from you. We don't want to, like, listen to it. I'm done with that. They're going to do anything. What are they going to do? They could even win in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech. And, I mean, Virginia Tech looked really good tonight. I'll give you that. But, I mean, no one's afraid of Virginia Tech. I mean, in all honesty, in the heavies, like the best teams in the country, that they're going to have a problem with Virginia Tech? I don't think so. And that was a massive egg that North Carolina laid tonight on the road in their opener. I thought they looked terrible. They got stomped. The fans intimidated them. The crowd, the road atmosphere, hostile environment, ate North Carolina up. And that was that. So we welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, it's for all the bench. So there you go. One upset already. And now you got another one brewing. Did people, well, Northwestern was favored in the game, and they're getting their ass beat. Duke is up 4 right now with 9:50 left. At Charlotte, Duke 21-17, and they got the ball at the Charlotte 38 right now, second and 15. Wake Forest is pummeling Old Dominion, 42-3, 8:47 left. Eastern Michigan, 7.5 minutes left, up 35-15 on St. Francis. They were laying 32. They're not going to cover. Kansas in the third, up 7-0, 13 left. So beginning of the second half in Lawrence, up 7-0 on South Dakota. Colorado into the second, up 7-0 on Northern Colorado. And South Dakota State, Colorado State are scoreless in Fort Collins early in that football game, just a couple of minutes in. So we have Aaron Torres on the show tonight from Fox Sports and the Aaron Torres podcast. We'll talk college football with him. There's tons of great games on Saturday. We're going to go through all of those with us, with him, and we've got baseball. The big game tonight, obviously, is Dodgers and Giants. They're underway, scoreless after one in Oracle in San Francisco. Huge series. They're tied in the lead for first in the West in the National League. And it doesn't get any better than that series this weekend. It's Ferrell on the Bench.
There's listening to Sports Grid, then there's
listening to Sports Grid.
You know you're doing it right when friends ask you about the week's matchups, the wife is happy, and your teenager regards you with quiet awe.
Here's your slippers, Dad.
Keep listening
to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Ferrell on the Bench. So I actually went to a high school football game tonight. I know the coach of the team. He used to play basketball with me on my team back in the day. He played football at Rutgers, and he's a monster, this guy. Big, tough, physical, strong, bull in a china shop type dude. And then he's now, years later, like, I don't know, 6 years later, he's a head football coach at a high school. And he's also a teacher. He was a teacher first. And at the high school, right? And then he eventually got hired as the head football coach. And then I also know the quarterback of the team, which is my buddy's son. And he's like a literally a freshman, but he's the varsity starting quarterback. And I went to see them play a team from just outside Manhattan. And when I was there, it wasn't going well. it was not going well. I know that the other team was bigger, and it was obvious they were faster. So you combine the size and speed, and it was a problem. I was only there for like pretty much into the second quarter, and they were losing, but I did go. And one of the things I noticed was how rowdy the student body is, like the kids. So my kid, my son goes to school there, and he's in this pack of wolves. And I went and watched them, and they were, I mean, they were getting their ass beat, and it didn't matter at all to the student body. I mean, the student body was just absolutely lit, and they were just screaming and yelling and jumping up and down and singing and dancing, and they had their whole act down to a science, like their cheers and their... the whole repertoire, they had it all going. They had different levels of euphoria. And I was watching, and, you know, whatever, I'm an old man now, and I got, like, I'm 56, and I'm watching these kids, and I'm just sitting there just tripping. And I'm watching my son basically behaving like an animal. And I was like, what is happening here? Oh, look at Michigan State going in again, 20-0. Oh, my God, the beating they're giving Northwestern. I'm going to bend over on this game. Anyway, I'm watching these kids and just watching them just go crazy. My son was in the middle of it all, screaming and yelling, going crazy. They all had, I mean, half of them had their faces painted. I mean, it was something else. And I'm sitting there watching going, man, these guys are pretty rowdy for a student body, and the team's not even good. I'm like, the team's getting stomped and they don't even care. They were like cheering them on, screaming, yelling, singing songs. This one chick was so absolutely jacked. I mean, she was screaming at the top of her lungs. She was like the ringleader. And I was like, this chick is going to be absolutely shot for the rest of the weekend. She's going to have no voice whatsoever, because she was literally like, her voice was already breaking up at this game. And she was screaming. And I mean, and I was like, you are going to pay the price. She had, I mean, this chick was like at a heavy metal concert screaming like she was on liquid metal. She was just going off, this chick. And she was like the one leading the cheers and the songs, and everyone was doing whatever she said. And then there was like, you know, whatever, I don't know, 1,000 kids screaming. It was crazy. And then I was like watching the band, and they were like, obviously, really. I felt I was impressed with the band. Don't get me wrong. I really was, that they had it all going. They had like the, you know, and then, but they were all nerds, which was awesome. And they looked like nerds and dorks. And I was like, this is like a movie. I'm watching these kids. And they had their band uniforms on and their band hats. And the one, they had like two tuba players. They had, you know, the six or seven drummers. And they were just, you know, and they were just going off. And the trumpets, dun 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 dun. They had it all going. And then I watched my buddy's kid play quarterback. I watched my friend coach. He was stomping up and down the sideline screaming. It was quite an experience. I haven't gone to, like, I've gone to high school basketball games, right? Mostly like playoff games. But I've gone to the football before. I have gone. I went to see my buddy who's a ref, who's on my team, who's a ref. He refs football and basketball, and he coaches basketball. And he, I went to see him ref a high school football game at the same place that I went tonight a few years ago. But I haven't really, like, that night I just went to see him, like, do the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the game. And then, you know, the kickoff in 10 minutes. And then I left. I have no interest in it or the team or anything. Back then, my friend wasn't the coach of the team. My buddy's kid wasn't the quarterback. I knew no one on the team at that point. And I didn't know the coach or anything else. So I just went to see my buddy as a ref, in a high school football game. And so I've been to a couple games, but I really haven't. I've been to way more high school basketball games, like, it's I've gone to a lot of great playoff games and playoff, you know, scenarios, holiday tournaments, season tournaments, like, pretty cool in high school basketball, because there is great basketball in, believe it or not, in New York City and New Jersey and the like. So I have gone to games, but this was kind of the first high school football game that I actually went and sat through. I didn't stay that long. I stayed until, like I said, the second quarter or something like that, midway through the second quarter. And then I left and came home and did whatever to get ready for this show, did what I had to do. And here we go, Moppy and I doing it. So, but it was cool. It was wild seeing my buddy's son play quarterback. I seen a kid in diapers, right? Now he's a varsity quarterback in ninth grade, no less. Like, I'm like, how does that happen? How does the ninth grader run the football team? I guess he's the only quarterback And he was out there doing his best. He was getting beat on by this other team. They were so big and fast, and they were just roughing him up. He was getting lit up. And he got up a couple of times looking like he wasn't going to make it. But he toughed it out. From what I saw, he made it through when I was there anyway. And I was proud of him. I was proud of my buddy coaching. I have to text him and tell him I was there. He had no clue that I was there. But I was at the game, and I went down there and checked it out. And it was so – I felt like I was in, like, a movie. I bought the halftime raffle tickets. I had all of it going. But anyway, I got to tell Mafia a story, because Mafia rides a Harley, and he's got, like, this whole motorcycle thing going. 34C also had a Harley. She, I think, slept with all the Hell's Angels. I don't know. But I'm not a motorcycle guy, but I have been watching this thing with Ewan McGregor. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Mafia, but when we come back, I'm going to tell this story, because I've seen this thing now, and it has blown my mind. Absolutely blown my mind. It's Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday. Michigan State up 21-0 on Northwestern. This game looks over. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
So, an amazing development, Mafia, as the... when I left, they were getting stomped 13-0 by this bigger, faster team that was dominating them. I mean, they had two kickoffs, and on both of them, the team that I was there for, both times they fumbled. And both times the guy that fumbled got injured. He got lit up so bad running up the field. He got jacked up so bad he fumbled and got injured. Both kids. But I just went upstairs, and 34C told me they came storming back and won the game. And my buddy's kid had the winning touchdown, the quarterback.
Nice. See, all the hyenas in the crowd, including your son, brought them back, gave them that energy.
Brought them back. They won the game. So the kid won his first start as a freshman on the varsity at quarterback. And then the coach won his first game as coach. And the kid that is a quarterback, he was dehydrated, so he kept, like, collapsing on the field. And the father, who I'm friends with, was screaming at everyone to give him fluids. And eventually the kid scored the winning touchdown. Could you believe that? I should have never
left.
That's
awesome. It's a good way to start the season.
Not bad, since they haven't won a game in 10 years.
See, that's what I remember with my high school football games. I never went. I played volleyball during the fall. I wasn't a football player, so I really didn't care about the football players. Most of them were tools, so I'm like, yeah. You know, every now and then I'd go with people, you know, it was like a social thing, but it was never like, oh, yeah, every Friday I got to be there and watch them and cheer them on. So I was like, no, I don't care about you fools.
I went and picked up chicks and sold weed. By the way, Mafia, you can tell I'm eating on the air and I could care less. I'm eating.
What do we have tonight? What's on the menu?
They just brought me McAdee's, and 34C with a massive fail. I asked for a vanilla milkshake, and she said, he can't have a milkshake. It'll melt when he's on the air. I would have drank it while I was on the air.
Yeah, little does she know the many meals you have had while doing a show live. Not even just meals. How many times you've eaten like whole bags of sunflower seeds while on the air?
You know, the band, what is it, System of a Down, they wrote that song, Eating Seeds is a Pastime Activity. They wrote that song for me. The guy's a huge fan of my show. One of them, I forget his name. And this is way back in the day, right? George Tankian, is that a guy that liked me? I called him George.
I don't know, Serge Tankian was a singer. I don't know if that's the guy. But that was the main singer.
Anyway, I love that band, and I used to eat like two bags of seeds a night doing the show, and it drove radio stations nuts. because I ate the shells on the air. I ate the shells whole. And I would crunch them right on the mic.
Yeah, it drove me more nuts when someone came into our studio after we were done and just dumped them all over the floor, right?
Remember that?
Yeah. And we got blamed for it, too. That guy came in drunk, dumped them all over the place trying to eat them because he couldn't eat his mouth, and then they were yelling at us.
What a loser that dude was. Honestly. What a tool. What'd that guy end up doing? Like getting 50 jobs and get fired from all of them?
I lost track of how many jobs he somehow got and then lost. I mean, we did the show drunk all the time, and we didn't spill anything all over the place. I don't know what his problem was.
I mean, we did the show drunk and high all the time. We didn't have any problems. All right, so, Mavi, I got to tell you this story. Did you ever see the show with Ewan McGregor and his friend Charlie Borman, the show Long Way Round, and then they did Long Way Down? And then the third episode was the third series was Long Way Up. And I watched Long Way Round and Long Way Down, and I just finished it. And what they did was they rode BMW motorcycles fully loaded with, you know, camping gear and everything on it, like all their food, all their camping gear. And then they had three cars behind them, like massive, like, you know, all weather, all terrain trucks that could go through hell, through quicksand. And they rode from, on the show I just watched, they rode from Scotland all the way to Cape Town, South Africa, 15,000 miles in 3.5 months on motorcycles through from Scotland all the way through like Europe, Italy, then to Africa. And then they went from the tip of Africa to the bottom of Africa and all the way into South Africa and to Cape Town. And they wrote, and they, all they do is they film the entire trip, right? And they do a series, and it won all these awards. And then along the way, they work with UNICEF and help kids and starving kids and sick kids and you name it, in all these different countries. And they go to like 20 countries, you know, they go to Ethiopia, Rwanda, Kenya, Mumbai, all these different countries, right? And Egypt, Cairo, they go to the pyramids. They go everywhere in the world that's cool. And I mean to tell you, it takes them 3.5 months, the trips. The first one I saw, they went from London all the way around the world, from London to, they ended up in Russia. And from Russia and Siberia, they ended up in New York City. So they went over 20,000 miles in 4.5 months and ended it down at like the World Trade Centers in Manhattan. And they came over to GW Bridge. And at the end of it, they rode with those Orange County chopper guys, right? So mm-hmm. That was the last stop. It was at their shop where they showed them all the hogs and they let them ride them. And his best friend, Charlie, is an actor that doesn't matter. And then Ewan McGregor is like this incredible actor, right? That's been in millions of movies, Star Wars and all the rest. What was the one about heroin? What was it called again, Mafia?
Was that Trainspotting?
The greatest movie ever, Trainspotting. Anyway, so they're best friends and they ride motorcycles together. That's what they do. And then the third one, I haven't started yet. It's the last one. They go up and they start in Brazil, I think in Copacabana Beach, right? Or something like that. And then they ride north, but I don't know where they go. I don't know where they end up. Maybe it's London. Who knows? But usually it's somewhere else. It's not like just where they're from because they both live in London. And they have families and wives and children and everything else. But they have this crew that goes with them. The same crew was on both episodes. And the episodes are 20 episodes, so 10 each. And it was award-winning. It won all kinds of awards and documentary awards and movie awards and series awards and book and DVD awards. I mean, it really was absolutely kick-ass. And it was fun. It was funny. It was crazy. It was wild. I mean, crazy things happen to them. Everything you can imagine happens to them. They wreck. They get hit by cars. They get attacked by animals, people. I mean, it is crazy. The cops give them crap. They have all kinds of stuff. Weather, you name it. Snow, ice, rain, sleet, dust storms, tornadoes. Everything you can imagine happens to them, right? And I've seen these two dudes ride 35,000 miles on Beamer motorcycles. And they wear these wild clothes, and they literally don't take a bath, but maybe once every 3 weeks. And these dudes just reek. They smell. They're dirty. They're covered in dirt. They're covered in oil. They camp out every night in tents and cook their meals. And they stay in lodges. They do stay in lodges here and there. That's like the only time they shower, when they go to a resort or a hotel. And most of them are like hostels. They're not like fancy hotels. They're just some place that's a lodge somewhere in the middle of Africa, or a campground or a campsite or a, you know, like resort that's just not even a resort. It's like a campground or something. It was just crazy. We got to get Mafia on one of these trips on his big ass Harley. He could ride all over the world. Like,
those things ain't easy, man. That's crazy thing about it is that, you know, I've seen the commercials for it, but I've never watched it. But I mean, most motorcycles don't have a big gas tank. You're getting like a 5 gallon gas tank because it's sitting right in front of you. You get 30 miles to the tank. Like every 150 miles, you got to stop and get gas. And you just sit there and the vibration, you know, on your legs and your butt riding all day. Like, that is painful for a lot of people to ride more than a couple hours at a time. So to do that kind of ridiculous distances that they're doing it's hard. I mean, they got that whole crew and everything, but it's still not easy to ride like that all day.
So these guys had 250 gallon tanks. They could go for 250 miles. And their trips, I told you, were 35,000 miles, the two of them. And it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. It's so good that it just sucks you right in. And what's cool about it is you get to see the world and all these cool places that you've never even dreamt of going to. And you get to see them on this documentary, you know, because you'll never go there. And it's pretty cool that you get to see everything that you never dreamt of going to or seeing. And these two dudes are crazy. Ewan McGregor is really a cool dude. He's funny, and his buddy's nuts. And they're just a blast together, these two. And it's just kick-ass. You got to watch it.
Every day, sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need. Strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So anyway, for all on the bench, it's 21-0. Michigan State with a minute left and a half. I have to tell you. So last night I watched that 21-0 Boise State lead on Central Florida. And then, you know, Central Florida scored to make it 21-7. Here's fourth and goal for Northwestern at the 1-yard line of Michigan State. If they don't score here, they can call it a day. They throw it in the end zone and score. So now you got a game. See if they can come back in the second half. They finally score. It's going to be Trey Pugh with the TD catch. It looked like the tight end. So they're on the board at least. You're down 3 touchdowns. You're getting your ass beat. You got to score there or it, you know, lights out. And they got it done. I have to tell you, though, I've had this game on just for a little while, and it has sucked. The high school game I was at was better. So, Mafia, as you know, John Boy Inc., my long-lost friend, rest in peace, he taught me how to ride an ATV and change gears, right, with a clutch. And I know how to drive a stick, no problem there. I drove a RX-7 forever in California with a clutch. and other trucks with a clutch. I can drive a clutch easy, but I can't. I've never been able to ride a motorcycle. And after watching, and meanwhile, 34C, as you know, had a Harley. My wife, I think she primarily slept with bikers that probably all want to kill me. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. But as you know, I was with her one day with him, and they were riding Kawasaki 500s all day, right? The two of them, my wife and John Boy Inc. And I think Joey Blunts and I were sitting around the pool smoking doobies while they were riding motorcycles. And I don't know how to ride a motorcycle. And I don't even, I mean, I guess now after I saw this show, I'm very envious and jealous of the fact that they did that and that they like, you know, here's a guy that actually is a very busy, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess once a year he makes a movie, right? Or something like that. Or twice a year. I think it's once a year. I think it takes him like 4 or 6 months to make a movie. And he's gone on a set, wherever, all over the world, making movies. And then the rest of the year, he probably chills and hangs with his family. But not this guy. This guy, Ewan McGregor, he gets on a motorcycle on a big, huge BMW, like roadster bike. And with big, giant off-road tires on it, right? That can go on highway or off-road and mud and everything else. And the guy rides 15,000 miles, 20,000 mile trips with his buddy. And I mean, when you see him on these bikes, they got two packs on the back wheel on both sides, one on each side, giant boxes like your bike. But these are giant boxes for like, you know, camping gear, tents, food, first aid, you name it, everything. They got everything. And then the three trucks have everything else, all the tires, all the equipment, all the tools, camping gear, food, food for 5 months, enough food for 5 months. And there's like two guys in each truck, so 2, 4, 6 in the crew, and then two bikers. So 8 guys on this trip. And both trips, and they travel with like these trucks just filled to the T. Like you can't imagine how much shack is in these trucks, and on the roof of the truck, and on, I mean every inch of the truck is taken. I mean like, it's like a roving house. It looks like a house driving down the road, but I'm so jealous of it because, I mean, to go around the world right on a motorcycle, like. I'm talking about the most badass Beamer motorcycle you ever seen in your life. And to do that and travel around the world or to travel from Scotland to Cape Town, South Africa. And then when you're going through Africa and all these African nations and the Sudan and all this other and Libya, I mean, are you kidding me? And Gaddafi's Libya, this is when they shot it. And you are not, I just don't deem that smart or safe. But they made it and nothing, no one killed them. No one hijacked them. No one kidnapped them. No one shot them. No one stabbed them. No one speared them. No one shanked them. And I thought all that was going to happen. And then when they were in Africa, there was gigantic animals everywhere, lions, tigers, elephants, giraffe, zebras, baboons. They went into the, jungle and they saw gorillas, and they show all of it. And, I mean, that's what's so tripped out about this series is that it shows things that you and I will never see unless it's on TV, right, or you're at the zoo. And I don't go to zoos, okay? So I'm a D. I've already been to the zoo a couple times, you know, and I'm done with that, too. So I just found it so incredible, Mafia, that they ride motorcycles around the world. And then I just thought to myself, you know, I kind of do the same things all the time. I go surfing in California or I go to the Caribbean and chill. I go to these fancy resorts or I go to, you know, beach cribs, fat houses on the beach and surf. I do the same things all the time. I won't deny it's cool. And I won't deny I like it. But I was just sitting there watching these 20 hours of these incredible, phenomenal journeys around the world by these two dudes on Beamers motorcycles. And I was just so envious of it. I was just so sitting there going, what am I doing wrong with my life that I don't ever experience something like this? Like, that's some badass, cool ass stuff. And I'm just sitting there going, short and lacking the global adventure of doing something like that, like going around the world. Like, I was joking on Coast to Coast today about, you know, Carver High's bucket list or whatever. And I just feel like I don't really, and I joked that he wanted to go to the Great Wall of China or something. I've never been to any of these things. I mean, I've been to a lot of cool places around the world. I have, but I've never done anything like that. And it just seems like, I don't know, Mafi, it seems like something you should do, something that everyone should try if they're able and willing and capable of it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. If you're able and willing, and most people aren't, I mean, you talked about it. You guys got three trucks filled to the brim with, you know, six-person crew for something goes wrong with the bike or all the food, all the gear that they need. They have some on their bike, but they really don't have much. I'm sure most was on the truck. So, yeah, if you have, you know, millions and millions of dollars and some, you know, TV show that people are going to pay you to watch and someone's going to pay the bill for us so that you can do this, yeah, it's awesome. But, you know, for you, me, you know, even you, definitely not me. I can't afford that. I can barely afford to keep my bike running, let alone, you know, do all this other stuff. But, yeah, it's cool. You can do other things, but you've had crazy experiences. I mean, you talked about traveling all over Europe. You talked about, you know, when you were sailing, where were you on the yacht that you were going for the month? I mean, there's been plenty of stuff that, you know, has.
I sailed the South Pacific in Bora Bora and Tahiti, Raiatea, Morea, Papeete. I did all the South Pacific islands.
Right. So you definitely have had, you know, even more experience than a lot of people have as far as vacations go. But that's definitely something cool. I mean, if you have the experience of, you know, knowing how to shift gears in a stick shift and have, you know, done that with a quad or an ATV or something, you could do it with a motorcycle. The only thing there is learning the balance and learning how to, you know, to push the opposite way to turn and things like that, you know, looking ahead. Those are the things you have to learn. But I mean, the hardest part for a lot of people is learning how to shift and know when to shift and all those things. So if you got that, you could probably figure out how to ride, you know, I wouldn't say go up and down Africa or anything, but, you know, maybe when the kids go to college, you can 34 C take a little trip somewhere, you know, go down the East Coast or maybe go out to Sturgis for the rally or something.
You know, I think I could do it. One of the things that I found that they had trouble with, which I'm certain of, is that they, when they were in Africa, there's like no, like a lot of the countries they were in, and I don't have a map in front of me. I can't, like in Libya and in Egypt and in all the, you know, the desert countries in Africa as well, where there's, it's just so crazy that the Ethiopia, all of it, that you wouldn't even be able to, Rwanda. I can't even tell you how crazy it was. They have like no roads. Like, so they were driving on dirt and sand. And I mean to tell you, when you hit one of those big, heavy, I mean, these bikes are 500 pounds with all that stuff on them. And when they hit sand, they tip over like a clockwork. I mean, it's just automatic. When they hit the sand, McGregor went down 100 times. And the other guy was a better motorcycle rider than him. He didn't go down hardly ever in the sand. He knew how to handle it. But McGregor had problems with it. And then at one point, he brought his wife on the thing for 2 weeks, and she learned how to ride a motorcycle, trained, and then she started riding. And then when she got to Africa and started riding in the sand, she wrecked 200 times. I'm surprised she didn't break her legs, because she, when she fell over, the bike would land on her and she was a mess. But when they were off road, like in sand and on dirt and in dust and in mud and in wet and rain, it was crazy the problems that they had. And there, you know, most of the trip, I'd say 70% of it was not on paved roads. It was on just rocks and dirt and gravel and mud and sand. Like, I mean, it's just crazy. I don't know how I would ever do it. I honestly, I don't even know. I don't even know how I would ever be able to do that. But I have to tell you, I thought it was like the coolest thing I've ever seen. And they do the whole deal, man. They train them. They do heavy training before they go, like physical training. They do security training. They do like terrorism training. They do, kidnapping training. They do first aid training. They have like, you know, with the security stuff, they'll have like, they take them into the jungle and, they have like fake scenarios where people attack them. Right. And set off hand grenades and guns and, traps. And, they hold them hostage and torture them, and they don't speak the language, and they're just beating them and waterboarding them. They do all that. They train them in all that stuff before they ever leave. So like the first few episodes before they even get on the bikes and start the trip is showing them getting ready, and they start training like 6 months before they leave, and they get the bikes ready, the trucks ready, the sponsors ready, the visas, the passports, all their paperwork, the shots. They have to take all these shots for malaria and everything else. I mean, like 25 shots each, like 50 shots. And I was just like tripping watching this thing. Absolutely tripping. And then I was so jealous of everything they did. I mean, oh my God, these guys, they just did it all. Stuff you'll never dream of doing in your entire life. Now, I did travel in the Eastern Bloc of Europe and went to all those cool countries. I went to Belgrade. I went to Yugoslavia. I went to Budapest. I went to Athens. I did all that. I went to the Olympics. So I've done some cool stuff. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
Even I saw the trail only yesterday. That's all I could think of, Mafia, was Stone Temple Pilots thinking about those dudes going on that motorcycle journey. So the Giants and Dodgers are going at it right now at Oracle. Bottom three, bases loaded for Brandon Crawford at the plate. 0-1 count, and the Giants leading the Dodgers 1-0 here, and a chance with two outs to blow it open already. They got one guy to ground out to third, Turner, with the throw home. Who got him? The force at home. So they've already got one out to get out of the jam. Now they need one more. Otherwise, the Giants are going to open up a can on the Dodgers here in this gigantic game, one of the series at Oracle. Sold out in San Francisco. A drive to deep center field over the center fielder, but Bellinger makes the play over the shoulder grab. He can't hit lefties, but he can still play the outfield. And they'll go to the fourth, 1-0. How about that? A drive by Crawford, deep center, and Bellinger tracked it down. They have been abusing Bellinger lately because his attack with the bat has just gone limp. Can't hit lefties. They don't even start him against lefties. I'll give you all the baseball scores, everything. The Yankees checked in 4-3 over the Orioles. How is it that they're struggling with the Baltimore Orioles every time they play them? That makes me sick to my stomach. But they beat them 4-3. That's all that matters.